This is Jim Inkster. Thank you for joining us for Talk Louisiana, 877-217-5757. In-house is Dr. Joseph Abraham, biologist and physician in the Acadiana area, and his book is Kings, Conquerors, Psychopaths, From Alexander to Hitler to the Corporation. Certainly a provocative title and a compelling book from this fine gentleman who has traveled from Acadiana to be with us this morning. Good morning, Dr. Abraham.
Good morning, Mr. Inkster.
And the book, by the way, is available at Amazon.com and ulpress.org, published by the University of Louisiana Lafayette Press, the same publishing house that gave us Bob Livingston's book, and the former congressman was with us a few months ago. And you touch on some of the same topics, but in a different way, and from a physician's point of view. Conquest is murder and theft. Conquerors are vicious criminals. Vicious criminals become kings, and kings design civilizations, and we are the products of civilization. That's some heavy stuff.
It's where we are. You were talking about Trump just now, but you can find it on both sides. We don't talk about religion. We don't talk about politics. We don't talk about football if we're on different teams. And I would argue the same thing happens with scientific ideas. We tend to be very rigid in the way we look at different issues, and this is why.
You could describe yourself as a moderate.
I try to be. That's what I aspire to.
Well, moderates, as some Louisiana politician once said, become roadkill.
I have a cousin in the legislature right now, and I talked to him a couple years back. He said, yeah, he said, I thought I was a conservative. And he really got – he's more moderate on many topics, and he really got beaten up.
Well, in Louisiana, if you're a moderate, you might very well be described as being a liberal because of the politics in Louisiana. In California, if you're a moderate, you're probably described as a conservative. So the regions make a big difference, and Quinn Hillier was right. We are divided in every way, and we're divided regionally as well. You look at the coasts, they're largely – Democratic, liberal, and the rest of the country, most of it, is less liberal, in some cases right-wing conservative, and that would include the 11 Southeastern Conference states, which all went for Donald John Trump by big margins, with the exception of Florida, which was close, but he still won there. So are we going to bring it all together, or are we going to continue to be divided? And as far as your book, is there some underlying reason why we're like this?
Absolutely. There are a couple of reasons. One is that as we've gone to diversity in the media, we've gone to more uniformity of thought. Everybody sits in their own echo chambers. It's easy to see right now with Trump, but it was interesting. The previous speaker spoke about Trump and Clinton, and they do share some characteristics. Clinton's advantage was he was, as conservatives like to call him, Slick Willie. He was smart enough not to act like what he was doing. He was smart enough to keep up a facade. Trump and his supporters are correct. Trump doesn't keep up a facade. He tells you what he's thinking.
But on the other hand, Trump was a Democrat until very recently. And as Quinn said, when you look at his spending policies, he's exploding the deficit. Clinton reduced the deficit. Mm-hmm. From that perspective, Clinton was the conservative. Trump is the wild free spender.
As much as you may detest Bill Clinton, he was a highly intelligent person, very well-informed. He's well-informed. He still recognized as one of the great wonks who occupied the Oval Office. He was making very strategic decisions and thinking them through. I don't think – it does not appear that Donald Trump thinks his decisions through very far. He likes to wing it. He likes to shoot from the hip, and his supporters love him for it.
Okay. Matt Doyle, let's go to a sampling of our president, very recent, in the Oval Office with Chuck Schumer, the Democratic leader in the Senate, and Nancy Pelosi, soon to be Speaker of the House in a few more days, once again. And it shows how Donald Trump is unfiltered, and I'm sure Pelosi and Schumer could not have scripted this any better. It went exactly as they wanted, and here is Donald Trump, who now says it's the Democrats' fault that the government is shut down. Here's what he said when he was together with Pelosi and Schumer.
You know what I'll say? Yes, if we don't get what we want, one way or the other, whether it's through you, through a military, through anything you want to call, I will shut down the government.
Okay, absolutely. Fair enough.
And
we
I am
disagree.
Proud, and I'll
we
tell
disagree.
You what, I am proud to shut down the government for border security, Chuck, because the people of this country don't want criminals and people that have lots of problems and drugs pouring into our country. So I will take the mantle. I will be the one to shut it down. I'm not going to blame you for it.
The fact is, you do not have the votes in the House.
Nancy, I do. And we need
well,
border security. Nancy,
we'll find
out. Nancy, we need border security. It's very simple.
Of course we do.
We need border security. People are pouring into our country, including terrorists. We have terrorists. We caught 10 terrorists over the last very short period of time. 10. These are very serious people.
All right. He sounds a bit like Joe McCarthy, who would talk about so many communists in the government. I don't know who these terrorists are, but he said they found 10, and that's why we need to secure our borders. This man is your unconventional president of the United States, Dr. Abraham.
Absolutely, and I watch the media trying to understand them, and what they need to do is simply look over the characteristics of the narcissist. Trump is one of the purest narcissists we've ever seen at that level of government in this country, but that is key to understanding his power. Why do people blindly follow him? And again, you know, people blindly followed Huey P. Long, and he was a liberal. Why do we blindly follow demagogues? And this is what the book is about, because for 10,000 years, the king was a narcissist, and if you disagreed with him, you died.
And I would think Bill Clinton was a narcissist. And based on what it takes to be president of the United States today, you got to think a whole lot of yourself to run for president.
Not just that, but let me offer to you that I think one of the least narcissistic and maybe non-narcissistic presidents we've had was Jimmy Carter. And he was just almost inept because he couldn't play that game. It is an ugly game at that level. And it is a battle of overblown narcissism.
877-217-5757 for Dr. Joseph Abraham, who is based in Acadiana, a biologist and physician, and his book from UL Press is Kings, Conquerors, Psychopaths, From Alexander to Hitler to the Corporation. Before we go to the phone lines, Hitler, his problems went way beyond narcissism, but there was a level of that too.
There was narcissism and a tremendous fanaticism, and his fanaticism took the form of an intense racism.
And he had a lot of people follow him, as Gus Weil, my dear friend who died on April 13th, said, this was in the most sophisticated country in the world.
Certainly scientifically they were. In other areas they lapsed. They were given to authoritarian bent. And you know, one of the great images is of the two of the most important thinkers of the past 100 years were Freud and Einstein, and they both fled the country. He ran off some of the greatest minds of modernity.
And if Einstein had stayed,
it would be very different.
The world would be a different place.
Very different.
Paul in Opelousas, you're on with Dr. Abraham. Hi, Paul.
Good morning, Jim, and Merry Christmas. Merry Christmas to you. Suppose Trump is lying, and most hustlers, you know, say what they need to say to get what they need to get. So they've got to move the game back and forth. But the other side of it is that these were elected people. Trump was elected. Hitler was put in power. Kings weren't. What does that say about us who put him in there? Thank you.
Yeah, you know, what was it? Napoleon said that a man would give his life for a small ribbon. There is a cult of personality. Here's the fanaticism at work. And I can have very interesting conversations with people who may agree with Trump on some things but are critical of him. The people you can't have are those who insist that he's never done anything wrong and he never has any flaws. And this is a level of fanaticism that grips us today. And you can see it here. You can see it with Putin. You can see it with Duterte. You can see it with Erdogan. You can see it with al-Assad.
Mm-hmm. His vocabulary is probably more pronounced than he shows. He speaks in very simple words. Sometimes his sentences don't end or they end too soon, and his thoughts run off in different areas that are unrelated to the other. But people generally can understand what he says, and obviously 42% of the American people, according to Real Clear Politics, are still in his camp despite all these issues that are out there.
Yeah, and again, it's this it's my football team versus your football team. There's no middle ground to talk about the sport or what we should do, and it's a simplicism that the problems are simple, that force will solve them, and this is the guy who's going to wield the force to make it happen. That's not how the modern world works. It works through consensus and negotiation and compromise. It worked before. It was true for every king, and it's certainly true for Hitler.
Well, if you'd told me 2 years ago we would have a U.S. president refer to an ex-lover as horseface, I would have said you're out of your mind. But Donald Trump does so many things, tweets so many ways about all kinds of issues and ideas and grievances he has that we're overwhelmed. It's hard to keep track.
Yeah, and as we go into our echo chambers, the news has become each day is it's a one trick pony. It's a different one trick pony, but we have one headline. We are so absorbed, and we can see it on the right or the conservative side right now, but it happens on the liberal side as well.
The liberals tend to view conservatives with the same kind of hostility that conservatives view liberals. And each side on occasion believes it has a monopoly on virtue, but I don't think there's much difference between the two. It's just whether or not you believe one person and you're willing to give him or her the benefit of the doubt based on your beliefs.
Sure.
877-217-5757. The book is Kings, Conquerors, Psychopaths from Dr. Joseph Abraham. We'll be back after this pause with more Talk Louisiana and return to the phone lines after this brief timeout on WRKF. This is Jim Engster. Thank you for joining us for Talk Louisiana, 877-217-5757. Dr. Joseph Abraham is with us. He's based in Acadiana. His book is Kings, Conquerors, Psychopaths. And for those who believe that we are living in times like no other, each period is like no other. And Dr. Abraham notes in his book that within the same few decades that Hitler ruled Germany, Stalin controlled Russia, Mao controlled China, and the Soviet Union, Stalin murdered by weapon or starvation over 20 million people, fewer than those who died in Hitler's battles. But we must remember, writes Dr. Abraham, that Stalin overwhelmingly killed his own people, Russians, Ukrainians, Poles, and others. As for Mao, he was responsible for the deaths of an estimated 40 million of his fellow Chinese. And then we have Donald John Trump, who is front and center. What would happen if we had cable news and the internet in the days of Mao and Stalin and Hitler? Would things have been different?
Well, they certainly have those now in many totalitarian governments. The government apparatus controls what people hear.
Yeah, no doubt in other countries.
Yeah.
But would there be an uprising in other parts of the world that are not keeping people from hearing about what's going on?
In the 1940s, probably not. We were coming out of 10,000 years of civilization in which wholesale slaughter of people was a regular occurrence. It was conquest. It was murder and theft.
Ray in Prairieville. Hi, Ray. You're on Talk Louisiana with Dr. Joseph Abraham.
Thanks for taking the call, Jim. And I like Dr. Abraham's view. I'm looking forward to reading his book. I also think we need to emphasize we need a lot more moderation. We were talking earlier about definitions, fiscal conservative. And I define myself as a fiscal conservative and a social liberal. So I guess I balance in the middle of the thing. But I do think that we need more moderates. We need to get rid of the far left and the far right. Or at least de-emphasize their power. I'll take my comments on the air, by the way. Thank you very much.
Thank you, Ray. Dr. Abraham?
And I want to make a little distinction there, if I can. We tend to conflate left and right with liberal and conservative. The founders would not have understood left and right because it emerges during the Estates General of the French Revolution. The clergy and the noblemen sat to the right. These upstart young Republicans sat to the left. And so really what left and right refer to is authoritarian and egalitarian. Everyone in this country should be left-wing. They may be left-wing conservatives, left-wing liberals, but we should all believe in equality and a mutual respect. Having said that, however, he's right. It's the immoderate. It's the extreme position. This is where you get into fanaticism and the cult of personality.
877-217-5757 for Dr. Joseph Abraham. We go to Phil in Jefferson Terrace. Hi, Phil. You're on Talk Louisiana.
Hey, Jim. First of all, Happy New Year to you. And you have such a wonderful program, and thank you for all that work that you put into it. And my questions for the doctor are, I mean, I think as humans we have this innate need to love our leaders, you know, and to put trust in them and maybe look at them as father figures who can be trusted. But isn't psychopathy, I mean, can we detect psychos or we have tests for those? I mean, isn't it easy to tell who is and who isn't psycho, for God?
All right. What about determining who's psycho? Or maybe sociopath would be a better way of describing certain people in American life right now.
Yeah. I spend a lot of time looking at those terms. Let me not go off too much into the bushes, but simply say that I would argue the real problem is narcissism. The psychopath doesn't care. He doesn't care about others, but he doesn't really care about himself, not the pure psychopath. The narcissist is consumed with himself. And so if you talk about the test, as the caller mentioned, there was one preeminent psychiatrist who said we cannot call Trump a narcissist. He doesn't fit the definition. Well, there are 9 criteria, and you can look them up anywhere. And I would offer to anyone to simply eliminate one of them. You only have to match 5 of them. And for Trump, I can't find one that I could definitively or indefinitely eliminate. As far as the father figure and loving them, yeah, that is, I would argue, the result of 10,000 years of both cultural and genetic selection. Disagree with the king, you die. And so the pressure is not to agree with the king. The pressure is to believe anything the king tells you.
And in his book, there is a major chapter on psychopaths and 15 qualities that they share. 877-217-5757 for Dr. Joseph Abraham, author of Kings, Conquerors, and Psychopaths. We go to Ed and Walker. Hi, Ed. You're on Talk Louisiana.
Good morning, gentlemen. I just wanted to share something with you. You were speaking about if we had internet and texting and whatnot during, you know, World War II and those kind of days. I had the privilege of being friends with a gentleman that worked on the Manhattan Project, where their computers were slide rules, you know. And I asked him one day, I said, well, wouldn't you, you know, wish that you had computers? He said, oh, heck no, we'd have killed each other, you know. Which goes against the whole Manhattan Project thing. But I just kind of wanted to share that with you, and I just wanted to say I really enjoy your show.
Thank you, Ed. Appreciate it.
Y'all be blessed. Bye-bye.
Yeah, there's a great scene in Apollo 13 when they're developing problems with the mission, and everybody whips out slide rules, and the modern student is amazed. But they could use them faster than you can use computers. I talked to one of the faculty members over in Lafayette. She's Russian, and she made an interesting comment. They didn't have the computing power we had, so they had to be really innovative, and they had to really think incisively and deliberately about their problems in physics, whereas here we just throw computing power at it. It's an interesting insight.
All right. I'm going to the responses from listeners. Here's Earl asking about the United States in particular. Being a country of short-term gratification, we're ignoring climate change. We're the most obese people in the world. What happened to our country?
In a word, I argue in the book, is the country was designed to keep out the king, and we didn't see the corporate raider coming in. The problem, I would argue, with both government and the corporation is that everything is about, as he notes, short-term returns. You know, your corporation has to show a profit every quarter. well, where's the benefit? Where's the return for long-term investment, for looking 10, 20, 30 years down the road, which is what the Chinese are trying to do right now. We're at a disadvantage when trying to consider long-term consequences.
Will that change?
It could. I conclude the book by pointing out that there are six branches of government. Okay, there's in addition to the basic three, you have the bureaucracy, which has become huge, the military-industrial congressional complex. You have the corporation, who has largely stolen our government out from under us. But the sixth branch is just starting to emerge, and that's the first branch, which is we, the people. We don't watch this government carefully enough. We have been asleep at the switch. We go across town. We own part of a corporation. And one day we happen over there and say, mm-hmm. This place is a mess. Who let this happen? Well, we let it happen.
Well, whether you like President Obama or not, he produced President Trump. We tend to vote different than we did before, and we're very impatient. And so we're likely to find somebody much different than Trump to replace him. What happens then?
First of all, I think if you can actually point to a point, and many people have, it was the 2011 press corps dinner where they ridiculed Trump. You never ridicule the narcissist. He will become consumed with vengeance, and that launched Donald Trump's presidency. Many people suspect, and I'm one of them.
He got involved more heavily in the birther nonsense at that time.
Yeah. But they just took him to task and just made wild fun of him. And if you support Trump, you think it's horrible. If you don't support Trump, it was a very funny moment. But we're paying for it. So what's next? There is a certain popular defiance emerging. I'm really worried. The lightning rod has become Ocasio-Cortez because they're newbies. They're going to make newbie mistakes, and they will be pounced upon for this, and the pendulum will swing back and forth. And I don't know how you get long-term benefit from something that jumps. We're in a war for 17 years now. We can't get out of because we don't know what we're trying to accomplish. We can't define an end game, and we can't get everybody to agree this is where we need to go.
The book is Kings, Conquerors, Psychopaths from Dr. Joseph Abraham, available at Amazon.com and ulpress.org. And another listener asks if you're any kin to Ralph Abraham, the gentleman running for governor of Louisiana, the congressman.
Not that I know of. My grandparents were illiterate immigrants, and I've been told their real name was something unpronounceable. There are two pockets, basic pockets of long-standing Lebanese here. There are those in the Lake Charles Lafayette corridor.
Like Richard Ayoub.
Ayoub, but also Charlie Bustani, Chris John, and quite a few others, and Edmond Reggie. But my cousin is in the legislature. Go ahead.
Your cousin. We're about to go, but your cousin is
Mark Abraham, who's from Lake Charles area.
Thank you, Dr. Abraham. We hope to have you back. Very good discussion. The book is Kings, Conquerors, and Psychopaths. And we're back tomorrow, same time, same place. For Matt Doyle, I'm Jim Inkster. Thank you for listening, and stay tuned.